Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Yevamos 11b, pagination 22, about a quarter of the way down on the page, at the beginning of a line, Ba'amine Rav Yehuda Me Rav Sheshes, they asked the following question, a sophisticated question regarding the laws of Yibum. We'll remember that the laws of Yibum is that a person died without children. The wife of the deceased is preferably, according to Torah law, supposed to get married to one of the living brothers and thereby produce a child, hopefully, that will be the legacy of the deceased brother. If there is any problem with the marriage between the deceased and his living wife, then the concept of Yibum or Chalitza is going to be called into question. Likewise, we discussed, if the wife has some sort of stigma or reason not to be appropriate to marry the living brother, there would likewise be a question on the Yibum, both regarding her and regarding her co-wives, other women in that marriage. So the question was posed between Rav Yehuda and Rav Sheshes, Hamachzir Girushaso Mishenises Umeis Tzarasa Mahu. If the deceased brother was married to a woman improperly, in what way was it improper? This woman was his wife. He divorced her. She got married to somebody else, and then was available because that second marriage was terminated either through the death of that husband or through a divorce. The halacha, based on a pasuk in the Torah, is that the first husband is not allowed to take her back. This man did. And after he did, and was married to her the second time, umeis, he now is the person in question that died, and we want to know, are we trying to do Yibum on his wife and trying to create a legacy? And the question was not on her, but Sarasa Mahu, what about the co-wife? Is her relationship with her deceased husband that we're trying to do Yibum on so questionable and so objectionable that it actually extends itself somehow to the co-wife? Or can the living brother go take one of his deceased brother's legitimate wives and do Yibum? Let's drop down about 22 lines, and in the middle of a line, we'll see the response, and this response is very sophisticated because it's going to be true on two levels. Let's see how it unfolds. Amar Leitin Yeshua, he answered him, it's a brisa. Hoysa achas kesheira v'achas psula. If the deceased brother had a wife that was kosher, good, and one that was pasul, no good. And we need to figure out what the brisa means when it says good and no good. But be that as it may, imhaya choleitz choleitz lepsula. If the living brother wants to do chalitza, he shall do it. He can do it, or he shall do it with the psula, with the bad one, so to speak. V'mayim miyabim, and if he's doing yibum, miyabim l'ksheira, he can do yibum with the kosher one, or he should do yibum with the kosher one. My ksheira, my psula. The Gemara wants to understand, in order to bring our proof, what does it mean, kosher and pasul, in the relationships that we're discussing? Ilema kshera kshera la alma, psula psula la alma. If it means kosher to the world and pasul to the world, meaning one of the women has a stigma upon her because at one point she was divorced and therefore she is not permitted to a kohen. So there's a degree of stigma associated with her. So he might... better off he should do chalitza with her, but kosher means a regular wife that has no stigmas. Asks the Gemara, I don't follow the reasoning. Kevin de Lidide Chazya, my nafka lemina. Who cares if she's stigma regarding a Kohen? If she's kosher to the deceased brother and she's kosher to the living brother, why would we care that she has a stigma regarding a Kohen? Elalav, it must be that what the Bryce is referring to is kshera kshera le, psula psula le, that the kosher and the pasul statements have some relevance to the family in question. Umayniu, what would that case be? The Gemara says, machzer gerusha aso. It's talking about a person who took his divorced wife back after she married somebody else. Uktani, and what do you see the Braisa is telling us? Imhaya miyabim, miyabim likshera. Yibum can be done with the kosher one, and chalitza could be done with this problematic relationship wife, the machzer gerushaso, the one that was brought back after divorce and release from the second marriage. That one is a questionable relation, a weak relationship, a problematic relationship, and therefore chalitza will work with her, but don't do yibum. So this is the first answer, this is the first approach to the braisa, and this is how it's codified in Shulchan Aruch. Simen Kuf Ayin Dalid in Yoredeus, I'm sorry, in Evan Ezer Sif Beis, that if it's a case of Machzer Gerushasa Mishanises Umeis Shei Choletzes Velomis Yavemes, such a woman, a returned divorcee after a marriage that she was released from, so in this second relationship, and Yibum would apply, it would be chalitza and not yibum. Vitzarasa, but the kosher one, the co-wife, o chaletza so misyabemes, is entirely your choice. You could do chalitza or you could do yibum. That's approach number one, and that is brought lahalacha. The Gemara says a second interpretation in the same braisa, and this is also going to be brought in halacha. A little bit more hashkafic than halachic, but still an important lesson. Lo, le'olam kishera kishera la'alma psula psula la'alma. I could understand this braisa that it's referring to kosher to the world and pasul to the world, meaning a woman who's a divorced woman in a regular, not that she was divorced from the person who's now deceased and back and forth, so that we're talking about second marriage, just a regular person married a woman who was once divorced. That woman, in relationship to a Kohen, has a stigma upon her. She would not be able to marry a Kohen. So in that regard, she's pasul. Not pasul to the deceased brother in any way, it was a perfectly good marriage, but pasul in that she has a stigma upon her. Udika Amrit, and you're going to ask me, Kevin de Lidide Chazya, Manafka Lemina, how does that have any relevance to the question of Yibum? Mishum de Rav Yosef. The Omer of Yosef, Rav Yosef taught, Kan Shana Rebbe, there's a lesson from Rebbe regarding this case of two women, one was once divorced, and one is a widow from this current marriage. She was never divorced. Rebbe taught, Lo yishpach adam meibero boro ve'acherim tzrichim lohem. Don't, here's the expression, don't pour out the water of your pit, of your reservoir, just because you don't need the water, because someone else needs the water. And you should be considerate. Don't be wasteful. And over here also, this expression was applied by Rebbe, that if you have a woman who's already a grusha, coming out of the deceased brother's marriage, she's already a grusha. She's already prohibited to a kohen. So she's the right woman to choose for chalitza, which also prohibits a woman from a kohen. But if you're going to go ahead and say, oh, grusha, whatever, let me take one of the regular non-stigma wives and I'll do chalitza with her, you're creating yet another woman that will be prohibited to a Kohen, and that's wrong to do. And that indeed is codified in Halacha as well, Simen Kuf Samach Aleph, Sif Beis, Hayubayam Psulas LaKohuna, if in the group falling from the deceased brother's marriage, there are women who are invalid to a Kohen, Balachlots, if you're going to do Chalitza, Eina Cholitz Elul Psula, you must do so with one of the women who's already Pasul for Kohuna, for Lo Lakshera, and don't pick one of the women who's permitted to a Kohen, and make her a Chalutza, thus invalidating her from a Kohen. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.